You're right. Okay, let's go to the one. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, go with me to Mark 16. Mark 16. But before you get to Mark 16, go to Luke 24. Mark 16, Luke 24. Right. So if you look at Luke 24, the Bible says in verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. And then Jesus said unto them, O fools, right? Jesus said unto them, what? O fools, and what? Slow of heart to believe all that the what? Prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into what? His glory. So what's the backtrack of that? I've thought that over time, right? What was happening that was that Jesus had died, right? And he was buried, right? And he resurrected. Is that true?
Yes, ma'am.
He had died, he was buried, and he resurrected. And people were in doubt. Look at verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have what? Redeemed Israel. We trusted that it should have been he which would have what? Redeemed. So what were the questions on the minds of the disciples and people around? They were looking forward to someone to what? Redeem Israel. Are you following? They were looking forward to someone who was going to redeem Israel. Right? So they now said, we trusted. But he says, but today is the third day since these things were done. Yeah, and certain women also of our company made us astonished. Right, which were early at the sepulchre. Right, so that's what transcends into verse 24 that says, certain of them who joined us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the men had said, but they saw him not. Right, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered and to what? Enter into his glory. Now, what did Jesus begin to do from verse 27? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Let's read that together. 1, 2, 3, go 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Right? So what you see from that is that Jesus began to explain the book of Moses or the books of Moses. When the Bible says beginning at Moses, what the Bible is teaching there is not as much talking about the name Moses as a man. Rather, talking about the writings of who? Moses. So he says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the things, in all the scriptures, the things what? Concerning himself. So did Jesus want to explain himself to the disciples? Yeah? Did Jesus want to explain the things that were happening to the disciples? Where did he explain it from? Moses and the prophets. Are we together? So Moses and the prophets will give us the documents that Jesus will explain himself from. Are you following? Are you here? Yeah? So if you look at Mark 16. So Mark 16 now tells you that Jesus came and said to them, right, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now it says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Are you here? He that believeth not shall be condemned. Right? He that believeth not shall be condemned, but he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It now says, this sign shall follow. Right? It will follow them that believe. In my name they shall what? Cast out devils, and they shall speak with tongues. Is that your Bible? They shall cast out devils, they shall speak what? With new tongues. So it means that when a man believes the gospel, their spiritual abilities, that comes with believing the gospel. Are you here? There are spiritual abilities that comes with believing the gospel. So an ability to cast out devils is an ability that comes into a man when he believes the gospel. So when you believe the gospel, you have an ability to cast out devils. You have an ability to speak with new tongues, right? So who is tongues for? Who is tongues for? Every believer. Are we here? Right? Okay, so is tongues for everybody? Good question. Oh, is salvation for everybody?
Yes.
So salvation is for everybody.
Yes.
Is tongues for everybody?
Yes.
Where are you? Left or right? Some of you are saying, oh, yeah. Yeah? In context, it's for everybody. So can everybody on earth right now speak in tongues?
No.
Okay. At what point will anybody be able to speak in tongues?
Yes.
When they believe the gospel.
Yes.
So is there anybody who believes the gospel that cannot speak in tongues?
Yes.
Is there anybody who has believed the gospel that cannot speak in tongues?
No.
Okay. Hold on. You'll get to it. You'll settle in. It's context. All of you are looking for this one. Context. Pretext and post text. Beautiful. Right? Does every believer have something called the ability to speak in tongues?
Yes.
Okay. Can every believer speak in tongues?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Listen to the question I'm asking. Does every believer speak in tongues?
No.
Okay. Can every believer speak in tongues?
Yes.
Okay, so let's make it clear now.
Yes.
So I had to add the second question before you got the first question. Context. Beautiful. So every believer can. But not everybody. Every believer speaks. So there are believers today that don't speak. Are we together? Right? And one of the reasons, I always tell you something, that really your understanding of scriptures is what will enable your functionality as a believer. You know, how many of you have heard about blasphemy? Right? Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. You know that you teach, right? Right? Are we here? Blasphemy against what? The Holy Ghost. And what does this, what does it supposedly mean? You don't know the answer to this one? Eh? You've heard blasphemy against the Holy Ghost now.
Mm-hmm.
What do people take that to mean? When you are speaking nonsense in place of tongues. Are we together? So I'm seeing people who say that, me, I don't speak in tongues because I don't want to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Yeah. But you know, the only way you can get to that conclusion is because you've not understood the scriptures. Are we together? Because if you read through, we're going to get there in this series. If you get through the series that teaches about blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, it has nothing to do with tongues. Nothing. Are we together? Right? So, can a believer... So let me give you the answer before we get there. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is a teaching in scriptures that shows or speaks about people who reject the message of the gospel. Are we here? Right? Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is a teaching of scripture that shows or speaks about those who reject. You know, the Bible says there's a sin that is unpardonable.
Yes.
How many of you know that? Unpardonable sin. Yeah? If you like lie, if you like do anything you want to do in this world, God will forgive you. But the only sin that God cannot forgive you of is when you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. That's a heavy statement. So you see, believers say that before God, we say we will not forgive you. But listen carefully. Bible says that he that believes the gospel, right? He that believes the gospel is saved. So I'm going to teach you today, what does it mean to be saved? Right? What exactly does it mean to be saved? You will now find out that the unpardonable sin is not a sin of speaking nonsense tongues in courts. No, the unpardonable sin is actually the sin of rejecting the work of the Spirit. That is why it's called unpardonable, because the only thing that supplies forgiveness of sins to man is the Spirit of God that is given to man. When you reject the Spirit, you've rejected the offering of the Spirit. You've rejected that which should make your sin or make you accepted in Christ, right? You have rejected that which should tackle the sins of man, right? And the moment you reject it, it's as good as you've rejected the gospel. So when you reject the gospel, that's blasphemy against the work of the Spirit. That is the unpardonable sin. So he's trying to say that if a man does not believe the gospel, there is no alternative. Are we here? There is no alternative. So a man cannot be saved by, I'm feeding the poor in Edinburgh. Is it good to feed the poor in Edinburgh?
Yes.
Blessed are you if you have the money. Are we together? I take care of the less privileged in Scotland. God should see my heart. You don't get saved because of the state of your heart of generosity. You get saved by believing the message of the gospel. So it is either a you believe or you don't believe. And if you believe, there's an automatic assurance of what you have, which is the fact that what? You are a born again. Are we together? You are saved. Altogether. So what we started looking at in the previous, on Wednesday, we started looking at examples in scriptures when Jesus had taught for 40 days. Remember that teaching? Jesus taught for 40 days. After 40 days, the Bible now says that disciples came and asked him, look at Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts 1 quickly. If you have followed on Wednesday, you should be able to relate to what I'm saying right now. Acts chapter 1, go all the way to verse 4. Let's read verse 4 to 7. And being assembled together with them. Now, if you have read verse 3, the Bible shows you that Jesus did a teaching for how many days?
40.
He was teaching back to back for how many days?
40 days.
Dear saints, are we in church?
Yes, sir.
How long did Jesus teach for?
40.
40 days after the resurrection. So, they were together in verse 4. And Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what? The promise of the Father. Right? Now look at verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, for ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying what? Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Did Luke 24 tell you something similar to this?
Yes.
When will you what? Redeem. So did they have a question about the redemption of Israel?
Yes.
Right? So I talked before, history shows that at the time Herod was in power, that means they had Roman imposters in court, right? And they were taking over the economy, the governmental body of their nation. And their mind, they felt like, how can God allow somebody from another country become the president of my country? Does it make sense to you? Right? Yeah? How can God allow the president? So they were saying, they were thinking that God was just giving it time, and one day God would just come and take away the governmental body and put his own government in power. After all, the Bible says, upon his shoulder, the government shall be. Is that not true?
Yeah.
Is that not your Bible? Isaiah, right?
Yes.
Right? Unto us, say what? Child is given. His name is Mighty God, Prince of Priests, Everlasting Father, and his government shall be upon his shoulder. So, one would have said, the Bible already says that the government will be upon the shoulder of what? Jesus. So, they asked Jesus. When we thought, so the first said, we thought he would have been the one to redeem Israel. We thought he would have been the one to rescue the United Kingdom. Yeah? So imagine Jesus in our nation. And I was saying, Jesus, I don't want to take over to be in the next whatever position it is. Are we together? And what now happened? Jesus now will now get a privilege to teach them for how many days? 40 days. How many days did Jesus teach them for? 40 days back to back. What was the question we saw they asked from that meeting? So they came to meet Master Jesus. You see, Master Jesus, see, there is none like you. None can be compared to you. You are the omnipresence, omnipotent, omniscience God. When I think of the goodness of humanity, you are the one hand. When they finished washing Jesus, you see, the things you taught us the Hebrew word, you taught us the Greek word. But we have one question for you. And the question we have for you is, when will you again, are we here? When will you again restore the kingdom of Israel? See, Jesus, we have one. So can you imagine the question on the minds of people Jesus taught for 40 days? That's why you see, as a pastor, as a disciple, or as a disciple rather, you have to be patient with people. Are you with me? You have to be patient with people. Let me tell you, who is a better teacher than Pastor Jesus? Who can teach better than Pastor Jesus? You. Me. Yeah? There's something they say, don't whine yourself. Pastor Jesus took people and taught them for 40 days. And in his teaching, After he finished teaching, the question they had on their mind was, when will you become the president of our nation? You know that? There's a resident general. Oh, you know it? Okay, sorry. That's sanctified to God. Your name, your work. Yeah, so he said, you are the real president, the general among the nations. When will you restore Israel back? And guess what happens? Jesus now comes and gives them an answer. So, you know, one thing you must get from there was that when Jesus told them for 40 days, for that to be a question on their mind after 40 days, it means Jesus did not teach about politics. Are you here? Jesus, I can't take you into the forest or the bush or even here and teach you for 40 days every single day. And the question you ask me after that meeting is, right? Imagine I take you out and teach you about salvation. And after 40 days of teaching, you are not asking me, so Pastor, are we saved? Okay, Pastor, what is salvation? And there's no day I didn't mention salvation at least 500 times. It's either of one thing. It's either that they were not listening, and I don't believe all of them were sleeping. But for them to ask Jesus a political question, it means that Jesus did not teach politics. Altogether. So, the reason for a church, the reason for a gathering called the local assembly is not to teach politics. Altogether. It's an abuse of a privilege as a servant of God to make your pulpit a political stand or ground. Can a pastor be a politician?
Yes.
Happy are you if you say yes. Yeah? Can a pastor be a president?
Yes.
Can a pastor be a governor? Yes. But you must know that when it comes to politics and governmental conversations, it is man-made. Are we together? It is man-made. So there's nothing like God will say, you, no matter what the entire nation does, you must be president. No, it doesn't work that way. Are we together?
Yeah.
And that's why you see the consistency of failed prophecies across the nations of the world. God said that if it's not this man that is in power, we will suffer for the next 4 years. When you can clearly see that this man cannot be in power. Right? So you can clearly see that this person is him must be in power. He cannot close to power. Even within your small circle, if they vote, you will not win. You now want to come and now say, God said, I'm the prophet to the, you know, when you have prophet president, who will be? A president as a prophet, who can speak? See, so when it comes to political affiliation as a believer, you must understand that where your strength must first reside in is in God's word and God's message. You can't choose to be a politician. God doesn't call people to say, you must be a doctor. Yeah, you like this. Yeah, you must be a doctor. That's why you see people, how do I say this without saying it, but I'll say it. Imagine you finish training a child, right? You finish training a child to go and maybe study something and you spend millions of pounds or whatever it is to take them to school. When they now finish, they now come and give you a certificate and say, Mommy, Daddy, this one I did is for you. Take it. God has called me to go and study doctor or medicine. All together. How would you feel as a mother or a father? Oh, you're acting like you just say, well, anything, run after your dreams. This is God, nothing else. And people end up going that path, wasting their time, so to say. Unfortunately, I have to say it that way. Yeah? If you want to be a doctor, say it. Yeah? You know, some people like to see syringe. You know what they call syringe? So people like the idea of what do you call it in the next? Stethoscope. Yeah. You know, you just like that. I remember when I was younger, I used to be a scientist. Before you now ask your children to come ask me questions in science, I cannot now be having that silence. Yeah, I used to love science, right? But the truth is that. So my undergrad was electrical electronics engineering, right? And the truth is that I have been saying I wanted to be an electrical electronics engineer from primary two. I still have pictures of myself with lab coat and helmet, and I like to hold wire. Wow. And when I trace back the time, I realized that I had so many of my relatives who were in that field. Do you understand? So I just piqued that interest. So if anything spoils in my house, there is no day an electrician comes to my house to repair anything that I will not stand behind and watch it. It's impossible. Like, you know, when you say apprentice, once you come and you just open. So from primary school, I knew what the distribution box was. I knew what the circuit breaker was. I knew how connections were working in the house from primary school. So I built and followed that passion up until my university. But guess what? If you ask me to solve Ohm's law now, I'll have to go and say Google. Moment I finished that qualification, what happened? My master's was in something totally different. It was as if I was going like that, so I just turned back. Why do you think I turned back? There's a word called M-O-N-E-Y. That's the Greek word for what? You see, that word, it can bring out something in you. So I looked around me. Electrician. I'll be cutting my hair. How far can this take me? there's some factual conversations you have with yourself. I remember my project. I did a very interesting project. God help me. My project was a smart home, right? Such that there's a smoke detector in the house, there's an intruder alert. So if anyone wants to come into the house, they send me a text message. You know, so I did all those communication and all those kind of things. When I finished it eventually, I said, so what now? So after this, what next? I don't have money to buy a house, I'll be putting intruder alarm. Do you understand? I don't have money to buy gas, I'll be doing smoke detector. I just bought one SIM card, I connected, I used that Arduino board, programmed it, before you know it, once you just put fire around it and it just, you just emit alarm, your house is about to burn up. It's okay, so one ridiculous state like that. But I told myself, in fact, it was even towards my 30 to 40 year, when I went on my IT, I told myself, I was like, if I continue like this, I will look for food. And all of a sudden, God placed on my heart. Hallelujah. He said, better go and do management. So every course I was looking for, management, project management, is it just like looking for salary? You know, it's not. You know, you determine your course by the salary availability. Hallelujah. It's godly. I'm very new that people pastors did a totally different thing. In my life, I've never applied for electrical role. Talk more of electronics. Never. Like when I even see the qualification, you know how they put job description. When I even read it, I have to be dating. That kind of thing that they say, come on. Yeah? What am I saying to you? That passion started from watching my uncles, my relatives, people around me, family, friends. Right? So it will be unfair on my part to say that, what about people who say God has called them to medicine, to study medicine, but they didn't reach cutoff mark? How do you explain that? Right? And some people, I know someone who stayed at home for 3 years trying to write. So from part of the world where I come from, there's something called post-UTME or CHAM or something like that, yeah? And the person kept almost, you know that syndrome of almost there? They say for you to get to study medicine, you must get maybe 250 over 400. I can't remember if it's 400 or 300. And you'll be getting 248. I know CHAM cannot help you blow bridge to push it. They just push it to enter 251. They cannot pity you. And for 3 years, the person kept writing. Eventually, after the third year, the person started doing Interreg. see the gap. That means the person's desire changed over 3 years. You know, that desire and passion to want to do surgery, it changed over time. Same thing with politics. So people wake up and say, God has told me I'll be the president of this nation. And someone responded to someone like that and said, you did not confirm if God meant president of your home. Or president of Old Boys Association, or president of your former secondary school.
God said he'll be president. This is president of the country. He just be president. God borrow money, bought tickets, started campaigning. Vote came, you had one. And it's not you that voted. And it's you that voted, rather. And he said, God has called me. And you know that people who have tried that for years. What am I giving this example to you? I'm trying to say it didn't start today. I'm saying Pastor Jesus pastored people. And they said, when will you again restore? And Jesus points their attention to it and says, well, that's not a conversation for you. Your attention should be regarding receiving power the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And what you shall be, what? Witnesses. It shall be witness. For me in Samaria, Judea, right? Right? And the uttermost what? Part of the earth. Together. So it's very important for you to pay attention to what the Bible teaches and stick with what it is. So Jesus points the attention back to what it should be. That means your focus as a believer, right? Every other thing is secondary. Is that right? You've taught that in consecration, right? Remember that teaching? There is one thing. There are what? Many things. Who was that? Which example did we use to teach that? Mary and Martha. Right? When Martha, was it Martha that went to the kitchen? Right? And Mary sat. Right? Martha went to the kitchen and was cooking. It sounded or looked legitimate. Right? And that's an example of what you see, for instance, in the local church. Thank God we don't have people like that here. You come for a 1-2 hour service, 3 hour service, come for a three point something hour service. You go to the restroom 10 times. You're laughing. Yeah? You go to the restroom 10 times, only you. You go to the restroom 10 times. You go, once you're coming back, you go. You know the problem? The problem is that you are very distracted. There's no better way to say it. You are very distracted. You just allow. So that same thing that happened to Martha, she was distracted. All together. But you know, if you went to an embassy and wanted to give you a visa or passport, all together, and they say join the waiting queue, you know you will wait there. Do you know the simple reason why you will not live there is, what if when I step out, you know how that thing will work in your mind? What if it's when I step out, they will call my number? What if it's when I step out, they will call my name? What do you do? You will fit yourself there. Right? It's because we think that when it comes to the gathering of saints, we can do and undo. Change and unchange. All together. Right? It's a different thing if once in a while, you are feeling pressed, you need to go and use the restroom. But how can a service of 1 hour, you've eased yourself 3 times, and you didn't drink water? Do you understand? And you're just out and you are in. And you're just out and you are in. And you're just out and you are in. It just shows you are distracted. Right? And I'm trying to say, even those who we don't have record of them going out and coming in, see the conclusion they got to, see the question they were asking. But guess what? God is a patient God. Altogether, God is going to be patient. God is a patient God. You know, that's why as leaders, as pastors, we need to be extremely patient with people. Right? Because you will just find out that, you know, people will not place their emphasis where they need to place it. So right now, I'm doing a series called Spiritual Gifts this month. Right? But you know, we could have chosen a series on anything random. Anything random. I remember someone reached out to me a couple, maybe years ago, and said, Pastor, I noticed that you don't talk about diverse things. What are diverse things? How to do your CV. How to apply for a job. How to find a what? Husband and wife, and how to be found. All together, right? You know, we have now turned church to be a place where we teach people how to bake clothes and sew cake. You get the point? Yeah. We call it skill acquisition, right? You're acquiring things over time. If you want to learn how to plait hair, come. Now, there's nothing wrong in that. But we don't use service time for that. I know the unfortunate thing, we now use the same Sunday service to give our award to the highest people or the people that score highest in those classes. Imagine after the just finished singing, I just went to sit down. And now wear my robe. Graduation robe. Now come with my hat. And now stand there. Somebody will now hold mic. The best in sewing class. Esther Yusuf.
Esther is in the right. Now give her back. First, I dedicate this to my to your to my lovely husband who gave me the time. And eventually, people now get distracted where their attention and focus should be. That's why you hear me say things like, people learn how to pray in the office. And they come to church to learn how to do office work. You understand? How to impress your boss. Imagine that's a series for a full month. How to impress, number one, different, first of all, identify different types of bosses. Melancholy. Phlegmatic, pragmatic, you understand their nature. When they come into office, they take tea first. When they now get to the office, your horizontal time is 8 o'clock. You now see them, they go inside the bathroom and close up the shower. You are worthy. You are worthy. Your boss is asking you to come and submit the document. You say, I'm communing with God. You do it well at home. Right? So we need to ensure that we get our priorities right. We ensure that we keep our hearts fixed. We get our focus. I'm trying to say the people who eventually had their questions or the questions they were asking, after such an insight, I believe that Jesus would have provided an insightful, well, systematically explained teaching meeting seminar for them. But guess what? Their minds were on something else. Their minds were on something else. Right? And we said that Jesus explained this from the scriptures. We looked at something again in Matthew 6, on Wednesday. Remember that scripture? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Is that right? Yeah? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And all these things shall be what? Added unto you. Now, one of the things we've taught in that scripture is also almost to look as though we are saying when you chase God, God will be looking for how to get things done for you. Now, it sounds wise. It sounds logical. But it's not scriptural. Are we here? Something can sound logical, but it's not scriptural. Are we together? Whilst we are to apply logic in our understanding of scriptures, the truth remains that not everything will be logical. Faith, miracle, is not always logic. How do we explain the birth of a woman without the influence of a man? The birth of a child without the influence of a man? How do we explain that? You will explain, you will explain, you will explain. Know what? At all, you won't get there. Right? How do we explain feeding thousands of people with initial 5 loaves of what? Bread and what? 2 fishes, is that correct?
Yeah.
How do you explain it? So you need to ensure that you place your emphasis. So people will say, seek the first kingdom of God as righteousness and every other thing shall be added to you. Say, me, I don't chase promotion at work. I don't chase. Do you know if you want to go there, you need to chase it. Together, you need to. There's a slant you will have at work if you want to be promoted. There are things you will do and should do. I told of the story of a woman who came and shared this morning in a big church. I said, in a big gathering, and said, I didn't even apply for the job. They just gave me the job, and the woman did not know what was not sensitive enough to know not to mention the company name. I don't know if she was mentioning for others to go and be looking into the company to see if they can get jobs too. And the CEO of the company will call the HR and ask, they say somebody got a job in your company without applying. And what happened? Fired the entire HR team because of the testimony. Something you have kept to yourself. Do you understand? So I'm trying to say when you think about life generally, there is that which matters. The other thing, you have to be slightly political at work. I hope you know that. I'm not saying you should be deceptive. I'm trying to say, if I ask you, how's your weekend? I'm talking to one of you, ask you, how's your weekend? Some of you, now when you are going to work on Monday, you need to go and create the story you tell them on Monday. This is up on the call, say, hello, how are you doing? Good, you, never let you, and you. How's your weekend? At first, when I first started working in this environment, it was strange to me until I had to learn, I had to man up. Because where I'm coming from, they don't ask how's your weekend. as you are landing into the meeting, they are asking for remorse. What do you plan to do? So I said, it was a weekend. So which I need to start amplifying my own too. Altogether. I remember there was one more reason to me. I said, how are you confident? So usually most because my weekend is usually about church. Either I do visitation throughout, or I'm studying, or I'm praying, or I'm or church. But that's where I was weekend was good, I was in church on Sunday. So someone now reached out to me and said, how are you? That is that you are bold to be saying you went to church every weekend, church. In fact, one of my senior program managers, then we got on the call. Do you understand how she was asking everybody, how was the weekend? How was the weekend? Me, she didn't say how was the weekend. It's just for how was church? Do you understand? It's no longer what did you do over the weekend? It is how was church? I mean, I felt proud. Some of you want to go out to church, you put your Bible inside your bag, inside your bag. If your neighbor asks you, why are you going to church? I just want to step out. I'm just stepping out. I just want to breeze out. And you dress like this, you are breezing out. If you are not breezing out, you dress with your heels, you are wearing this, I want to just breeze out there. And you are not even bold enough to say that you are a Christian. Are we together? Yeah. Some of you, they ask you for form, want to fill work for work employment stuff. They say, what is your religion? You're looking for the one that is neutral. Protestant, is that the word? Just be looking for the one. You saw Christian number one, no? Then I want something that is loud. After all, it's the heart that God sees. Yeah. So there's a way your heart should be. So we think that seeking first kingdom of God means that follow God, chase God, and everything you are looking for will just start appearing to you. Is it husband? Is it car? Is it house? Is it all of those things? But no, we said that. What you should read that scripture to mean is that you seek you first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added anyway. Because he has already taught you from scriptures that the Gentiles don't need to pray before they get these things. They have these needs. Yeah? Then that goes to verse chapter 7. So go to chapter 7, where I'm going to. Look at chapter 7, Matthew 7, 7. I'm sure a lot of us can quote it. Ask, you shall be what? Ask, you shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall what? Find. Knock, your door shall be what? Open unto you. Now look at verse 8. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh shall be what? Open. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son should ask for bread, he will really give him a stone? Or if he should ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? And now says, if he then being what? Evil. Know how to give. We said the word evil. What's the meaning of evil? Unstable. Yeah? It's not saying that every man on earth has a terrible heart. No, it just really means that man can be unstable. So it says, if ye then being unstable, that's the word evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give what? Good things to them that ask him. So what the Lord wants to do, we now link Matthew 7 verse 11 to Matthew 6 verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom, and what? All things shall be added. So anything you ask God, you will get it. Are we together? Is that true? You don't have to answer. Can you ask God for my wife? No, ask him. Go ahead, ask him. We'll meet in front. And you understand? You know, people can be blinded to reasoning until you put them in the picture.
Yeah.
Bible says all things are mine. Everything in this world is all things. My father owns 10,000 cattle. How many 10,000? Right? Yeah. What is it that is too big? Yeah. And you know, imagine you and your CEO are in the same church. Yeah, and your CEO is the number one in the company. Your own prayer is that God give me his position. What will his own prayer be? No, anybody that is in position, Father. Okay. You that said that one. Right? Who is that man that doesn't want me to? So you need to ensure that you put your heart where your heart needs to be. So seek the first kingdom of God is not an open check to say anything. Just seek the face of the Lord. No. Now when the Bible says, if you then be able not to give good things, how much your heavenly Father give good things? Look at how Luke renders that. Luke 11. Luke 11, 9. Luke 11, chapter 9. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Luke 11, 9. How does time used to run? A question we need to ask. Look at Luke 11:9. Are you there?
Yes,
So what it says, and I say unto you, ask it shall be given unto you, seek. Is that the same scripture we read?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just jump all the way to verse 13. If ye then being what?
Evil.
Look, are you in church?
Yes, sir.
God's palace. So are you here?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's read verse 13 together. 1, 2, 3, go. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So the good thing or things that Matthew 7 talked about is what? The Holy Spirit. It's in context of the Holy Spirit. So have you received the Holy Spirit?
Yes, sir.
Is this something that will happen?
No.
No. You've received the Holy Spirit because you believe the word, the message of the gospel. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. So this month, we're looking at spiritual gifts. What exactly is it about spiritual gifts? What are the gifts that are resident on your inside? And how to harness it? And how to bring it into manifestation or demonstration? We want to look at the theoretical part. We're going to have some practical classes as well as we progress. But I want to fundamentally explain it through scripture so that we can have a foundation on which we will build up. So, how many of you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? We grew up reciting it for those of us who were Christians, right? The grace of our what? Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and they have to be sweet. The what? The sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Be with us now forevermore. Amen. Yeah? Now, where did that narrative come from? 2 Corinthians chapter what? 13, verse 14. Now, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Now, we said the word there, and between Lord Jesus Christ and love of God, is the word key or kai. And it's what that speaks about, or that which explains what was said before sometimes. Are we together? So, how do you read 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, the word there, key kai, is the word I mean that is the same which is the same. So, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I mean to say the what? The love of God. And the what? I mean to say the what? The communion. The word the communion is the word koinonia. That means the fellowship or the supply of the Spirit. So, I mean to say the supply of the Holy Ghost. If you look at the Bible very well, there's a word that is in italics. What word is that?
B.
B. Is that correct? The word B in your Bible is in what? Italics. If your word B in your Bible is in italics, you need to throw it away, even if it's your phone. Yeah, so he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean to say the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost with you all. So was that a prayer? Was it a prayer?
No.
It was restating a fact that is in existence. So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is explained by the love of God and actually is seen by the supply of the Spirit. John 3:16. For God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Are we together? That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So the everlasting life is received by the what? The Spirit. And the Spirit that is given is actually the demonstration of the love of God to man. So has the Father given you the good thing?
Yes.
Yeah? So the Father has given you the Holy Ghost, which is the good thing. All together. So the question is, what exactly is it about the Holy Ghost? Right? He says, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Now, Holy Ghost does not mean a ghost that does not sin. Amen?
No.
Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you differently. When the Bible teaches holiness, when the Bible calls a believer holy, right? The Bible is not referring to a believer who does not sin. Rather, referring to a believer who should not sin. Are you here? There's a difference. You are not holy because you don't sin. You are holy because God has called you holy. The word there, holy, is the Greek word that means sacred. Right? The word holy means sacred. Something that is designated. You know, in this church, this mic is holy. Is that true?
Yeah.
Because not just anybody uses it. All together. This pulpit, what we call pulpit, right, is what? Holy. Not because this metal hasn't sinned, but because it is designated for those who lead us in the local assembly. So when we say the Holy Spirit, what are we saying? A spirit that is sacred.
a spirit that is set apart for a purpose. So when Bible says you are holy, what is that? What does that mean? You are set apart. You are sacred. You are put on a path. You are separated for a cause. So the Holy Spirit is actually, you know, the Bible says about Moses, and I think you remember that when Moses was on the rock and hill and all those things, Bible says, remove your shoe for the ground you step on is what? A holy ground. It's not saying that that ground has not sinned. It just really means it's a sacred ground set apart to talk about the conversation about this, your encounter. So set apart right, is a place that is called holy. So holy does not always mean something that is superior. Are we together? So a believer, is a believer holy? Because he or she doesn't sin? No. Because God has said you are set apart. Now, what sets you apart? His spirit. So that's why we say it is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the spirit God puts in man to set man apart. Are you here? The Holy Spirit is the spirit that God puts in man to put man or make man to see himself or herself as sacred. It doesn't mean you have not sinned. It doesn't mean you've not committed anything bad. No, it just really means that you are set apart. Now, because you are set apart, there's a life you will live. Is that not true? Because you are set apart, there's a life you will live. So you don't become holy to God because of a life you live or not live. You become holy to God by believing in his spirit that will eventually make you holy. Are you here? Yeah. So you are holy because his spirit is in your heart. You are holy because you are sacred, because the Holy Spirit is in your heart. So it means that you are going to perpetually remain at a state of holiness. Are we together? Yeah. However, you will find yourself, or people will find themselves, or will find ourselves, falling short of on some conversations. Are we together? But we don't call ourselves holy because we have not done this. Because No. That's not what determines your holiness. It is based on his work, based on his spirit. Are we together? So what Jesus did in his suffering, what Jesus did for man, is to give man a spirit that is designated to put man or set man aside for a particular purpose. Are we together? Look at John 7 quickly. John 7:37. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. You know that song? Rivers of living water. GP. Are we together? Yeah? Now, that song, for instance, is a song that probably was gotten from the scripture, John chapter 7. Are we together? Look at John 7, verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of what? His belly shall flow rivers of living water. Yeah? Now, if you are not careful, you will think that this scripture is talking about yourself. Yeah? I used to teach that a couple years ago. I'll say that the Bible says, out of my belly shall what? Flow rivers of living water. But you know, in Bible interpretation, there's something I've taught you that you need to ensure that you don't take a text in isolation. What does that mean? You read the pretext, read the pretext, the post-text. Are we together? You read the pretext, you read the post-text. So you must read what was being said before, what is being said afterwards. Are you following today? Right? So when Bible says that, just go back to verse 37. At least you can start a conversation from verse 37. It says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man should what? Thirst, let him come unto me and what? Drink. So who is the one that is asking people to come and drink? Jesus. Are you following? So who has something to give a man that is thirsty? Is it you? No, it's Jesus. So Jesus has something to give a man that is thirsty. What does he say? He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said. So who is the me there? Is that you? It is Jesus. So this, what did the scripture say about him? Out of what? His belly shall flow rivers of living water. Right? Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Right? So whose belly should we expect conversations around rivers of living water? The belly of Jesus, not you. altogether. It's not you. It's not me. How do you know? Just read verse 39. Everybody together, Revelation 39 together. 1, 2, 3, go. But everybody together. 1, 2, 3, go. But he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, when the Bible says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, what is that speaking about? The Spirit of God that will be given, are we together, by the work of Jesus. Is that true? So, did Jesus do a work that supplies rivers of living water? So, does the rivers of living water flow from your stomach? Yeah, are we together? No, you see some people say there's a river inside of you. You must understand, the river inside of you must be put in context of what you are speaking about. Are we together? Yeah? You know, I always tell you this story, this conversation from Psalm 46. For there's a river within her. She shall not be moved. You know, for God is within her. Right? Yeah? So, the river in the real sense must be put in context of what is being spoken about. So the river in John 7 is about the giving of the Spirit. So can you say Spirit was used, or rivers of living water was used to communicate the truth about the giving of the Spirit?
Yes.
Are you following? Yeah. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Look at Ezekiel 36:25. So if you look through consistently across scriptures, you will see that you will see the consistency of the use of figures of speech across the scriptures. Right? So look at verse 25. I will what? Are you there? Ezekiel. Ezekiel is in the Old Testament book. So. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be what? Clean. Let me ask you, who is sprinkling clean water? Your pastor? Is he your pastor?
No,
have you seen conversations of people taking buckets and leave or something? Is it hyssop? Is that the word? Hyssop? Yeah, is that, that's the word, right? Hyssop, yeah? Like leave. Like something you see in shrine. Oh, you don't know what they see in shrine. Okay. It's movies I saw you too. It's not like I've been there. When people start looking at me, no, I've not been there. I saw it in movie. Eh, Nollywood. So you see a man just picks a basin of water and goes to everybody that sits in. Just stop. All together. What is that? They are sprinkling clean water. But if this one that the Bible speaks about says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Can that water make you clean? Can that water from that spring, can it make you clean? Who sprays water on man and man becomes clean? Only God can spray water on man and sprinkle water on man and the man becomes clean. So let's see who is the I will sprinkle in verse 25. Go back to verse 24. Go back to verse 23. Go back to verse 22. Are we together? Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus shall the Lord God, I do, thus says the Lord God. So who is talking? God, right? Is that true? Go all the way to 23. I will sanctify my name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you among... So who is the I will take? Who is the one doing the taking? God says, I will take you from among the heathen and give you out of a country and will bring you into your own land. Then will I. So who is the will I? God. So God is the one that will take us out of the heathen and will what? Sprinkle what? Clean water upon you. You should know where I'm going to. So what do clean water speak about? The work of the Spirit. All together. So is clean water H2O? So is H2O in this conversation at all? Is H2O in the conversation of John 7?
No.
Rivers of living water. Is it H2O? No, it's not H2O. Are we together? Right? So, I will sprinkle clean water upon you and shall be clean from your filthiness and from your idols, will I cleanse you. Look at how he explains it. Now, let me ask you a question. I will take you from there among the heathen. Is that different from sprinkling clean water?
No.
It's the same thing. So how will God take you out of the heathen? It's not necessarily a question of you are the midst of people, it's not by picking you, I can't drop you. All together. How does he do it? He does it by sprinkling. That's why you see on the earth, we have both Christians and non-Christians on the earth. Right? But a man, even though living with an unbeliever, that is a believer, has the water of God sprinkled on him. What exactly does it mean to sprinkle clean water to make a man clean? Look at how he says it in verse 26. A new heart also will I give you. A new heart also. So, have you received a new heart?
Yes.
What again have you received?
New
God's palace. You are faster than your shadow. Yeah, so you are not even listening to what I'm saying. Just know that you know where I'm going to. You just dropped it for me. Yeah? What again have you received thus far? Cleansing or sprinkling of what? Clean water. Amen. Are we together? Right? So I will sprinkle clean water is not different from a new heart. So a new heart will I give you, and the what? New spirit will I put within you. So when God gives you a new heart, is there another thing called new spirit?
No.
Beautiful. Minister Steph. Yeah? When God gives you a new heart, is there another thing called new spirit? No, because the new heart is the new spirit. So it is. So think about it this way. God takes you, drops you somewhere in a nation, then now sprinkles water on you there. So after they sprinkle water, what should you wait for? New hearts. Then after you now get new heart, what should you wait for? New spirit. It is the act of taking you out of the heathen and the act of giving you a sprinkle of clean water is the same act called the giving of the new heart. That is the giving of the new spirit. Are we together? In case you miss it, he says, and now look at verse 27, 1, 2, 3, go. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to what? Walk in my what? In my statutes, right? In my ways. Is that correct? So, which spirit is God putting in you? A new spirit or his spirit?
His spirit.
I would have expected you to say a new spirit, which is his spirit. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So is God putting in you a new, has God put in man a new heart?
Yes.
What is the new heart he puts?
Spirit.
New spirit. What is the new spirit? His spirit. So every believer has been sprinkled with clean water. That is, every believer has a new heart. Every believer has a new spirit. So, as every believer, listen carefully. Can Jesus today say, if you are thirsty, come and drink from me? To a believer.
Yeah.
Why?
We have drunk already.
So, can we say the sprinkling of clean water means to drink water? Are we together? Jesus came and stood and said, if you are thirsty, right? If you are thirsty, what happened? Come unto me and what? Drink. So did Jesus have the water to give?
Yes.
What does God do with his water? He sprinkles. When God sprinkles you with clean water, what does that make you? Clean. So every believer has already drank from the water that God gives. Are we together? So, Jesus cannot say to the believer, if you are thirsty, come and drink. Why? Because you've already drank from the water. That means a believer can never be thirsty. But some of you are thirsty. I'm thirsty now. All together. That means there's a difference between the eternal test, spiritual test, and physical test. So, which test does God's spirit quench? Spiritual test. So, every believer, they've gotten their thirst quenched by the giving of the water of God, which is the giving of his new heart, the giving of his new spirit, that is the giving of his spirit. Are we together?
Yeah.
So if you have a new heart, who are you? You are a new man. Are we together?
Yeah.
So you are a new man because you have a new heart, that is a new spirit, that is what? His spirit is in your inside, on your inside. So it means that there is no believer who at any point will lack the spirit of God. Are we together? There is no believer who can lack the Spirit of God. Now, let's go back to where we started from. I'll say it one more time. There's no believer who can lack the Spirit of God. Let's go back to where we started from. So when the Bible says that going into the world and preach the gospel, he that believes, what happens to a man that believes? A man that believes is what? Saved. What does it mean to be saved? Does to be saved means to be sprinkled with clean water? Are we here? So when a man is saved, it means he has been sprinkled with clean water. Right? What again has happened to the man? He has a new heart, a new spirit, the Spirit of God. So Bible now says, go to the world and preach the gospel. He whosoever believes and is what? And is what? And is what? Yeah, look, Mark 16. Glory to God. I'm going to show you something quickly, okay? Yeah? So look at Mark 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16 says, he that what? And what? So if we assume that baptized there has to do with water, will that baptized water be H2O?
No.
Because the baptism of water that God uses to make a man saved is not literal. Are we together? So to believe, is it different from being baptized?
No.
So to believe means you will be baptized. Now what does that mean? You are saved. Are we together? So is Jesus saying put people in that water?
No.
Yeah? So the Bible is not teaching that, you know, some people, they say that the only way you can join the workforce in God's palace is where we dip in, because we have a swimming pool downstairs. How many of us were baptized? We're not baptized.
Oh, no, my
family. Yeah, you know, we now do one full service. I'm now wearing one shirt and one shirt and go inside the water. We come after our next. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You're not snapping. You're not going to post it on Facebook. You're not going to post it on Facebook. New beginning. And as soon as you finish posting it on Facebook, you go and lie. Abi, as soon as you finish telling the old one, I'm not a new man, though. You now go and look for where you go and steal. Are we together? Yeah? You know, people say, you know, what baptism is an outward demonstration of an inward reality. Ooh. Do you understand? How can you say you are saved and what people will see as your salvation is a picture of you inside water? Like, You were in an office before. People knew you as a liar. You go home with any man. You go home with any woman. Are we together? You go home, you steal. You know, some people, they cannot even trust money with you in the company. Yeah? And all of a sudden, you say you are born again. You post picture. And you still continue that lifestyle. So whatever business is an open. If you want it to be really open, go and pay for CNN to be there. So there are people that know you, there are people that don't know you. To just see your picture online, he has been baptized. So, what's the best that water baptism does to a man? You just had your shower outside or in front of people. That's the best. Water, H2O, has no effect on the heart of man. Are we here? But John the Baptist baptized. Yes, he did. But what did he say? He said, there is a greater one that is coming. Are we together? So it means that John's use of water was for a season, was for a moment. Let me tell you something. If John did not have that, so he used that water as a means to gather people together. So that when he will say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, people will be there already. Do you understand? People. So it's not be a case of it's only him and Jesus and the probability of nobody is there. No, it is he now, because there's no instruction in scripture that says he should use water. There was no prophecy about John that said he should use water. No. But what will John do? He will use water and he will point the attention of them to something that is greater. We start out on Wednesday, Acts of 19, verse 6, when Paul will ask them, right, unto whose baptism were you baptized? Are we together? So what he says, and he that believes and is baptized is saved. So are you saved? What makes you saved? You believe. So is there anybody who believes and is not saved?
Is anybody who believes that is not saved? The moment you are finding a person who believes that is not saved, it means that Matthew 16 needs to be trashed away from the Bible. How long is a man that is saved saved for? Forever. For you to say something other than that is to say that John 3:16 should be trashed from the Bible. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. It says that whosoever believes in him, the assurance says, it says, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Nobody gets everlasting life and loses it. Are we together? It is something that God puts by himself in your heart. So, are there believers who, you know, but pastor, why are you saying that? The people, I know a brother who backslid. You, what of you? You know, some of us, we know how to judge the people who can backslid except ourselves. Huh? That brother used to be on fire. You were never on fire. Past, present, even future, you don't seem like you'll be on fire. But you know how to say, that brother was on fire. Huh? Yeah. So, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, can a believer backslide? Yeah, so. There are people who were Christians before. And forgive me. There are people who were devoted churchgoers before who don't go to church again. Do you know some of them? Yeah. You know some of them? We know some of them. Yeah. Some will use whatever excuse because they are just lazy. They always tell you, you say, I don't go to church because you know, the church hurts. You know, I don't know if you heard of the phrase church hurts. Church hurts. The church hurts me. I don't go to church. I don't do anything church. Those people, no. They are all one and same. I don't do church hurt. I always tell you, if a church, can a church hurt you? Yeah. let me tell you, it's not everything that will happen in the church that you might like or you will like. But it's not about what you like or what you don't like. Are we together? And I've always taught you, if a church hurts you, what's the solution? You cannot say you go to the hospital. You say, imagine you go to the hospital and tell the doctor, I'm having migraine. My head is just bouncing at the back. And I say, and the doctor just comes. He just comes. Just say, give me that plaster. And they just open plaster and paste it on your head. Do you understand? You told doctor you have migraine. Your head is banging. He just removed plaster. Say, let me just paste it here. And don't worry. It's going to go. What do? You be like, you know, at that point, you would think you know better than a doctor. Yeah? And it's because you think you know better than a doctor. That's why you go and look for what? Another hospital. You go to just another hospital and they tell you that you have migraine. They tell you, this another man brings POP. You know POP? And they just use POP and just say, let me just tie your hand. And they hang you like this. All together. And you now say, what is happening? Yeah? What do you do? You look for another what? Hospital. You go to another one and they tell you that, no, we need to amputate your leg. What's the solution? Give us wrong. You just go. Yeah? Imagine you take your child to school. I was together. And he just gets to school. He comes back after like 1 week of intense training. Can you say A to Z? Let's say A for apple. And he starts to give you a beating. A for apple. B for apple. C for apple. Gapple, apple, gapple, japple, quapple. Then I say, zapple. You now say, clap for yourself. Is that what you say, Terry? Say, clap for yourself. You are such a brilliant young man. What's the first thing you go and do? You say, wait. Where did they teach you this one? First of all, you go and check your YouTube page. Hope there's nobody that is teaching this kind of nonsense. What you now realize is from school. What now happened? You go and check the school. When you confirm it's from school, imagine you now open your child's book from school. A, apple, B, zapple. And the lecturer mark it 10 over 10. You don't say from today, you will never go to school again. What do you say? From that moment, some of you are so fast. As you are even leaving the office of the principal, you just go and search on Google. Nearest school close to EH. Schools close to EH 15. Before they say, Jack Robinson, what happens? You've changed the child's goal. Are we together? So your solution, your responsibility must always be around the fact that the church is so important. Right? So there are people who used to go to church and don't go to church again. But let me tell you, dear saints, as long as they believed, they are saved. So they are just believers who don't go to church again. Why? Because God will not take his spirit from you. Even David knew it. He said, you take not your spirit from me. You cast me not away. Because when it comes to salvation, you are not the one holding on to God. It is God holding on to you. If you're holding on to God, you can let yourself go. I'm trying to say, in his grip, you can't ungrip yourself. It's a firm glue. So God's spirit is eternally in you, eternally for you, and will always be your possession or your inheritance by the work of Christ. So it says, he that believes and is baptized is saved, but he that believes not shall what? Be condemned. And this sign shall follow. Look at Romans 10. Romans 10 verse 9 this morning. Let me start wrapping up this morning. Romans 10 verse 9. Look at Romans 10 verse 9. If you would for me, go all the way to... I'm first going to Romans 10. That if thou shalt what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Are you here? Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto what? Righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be. So when the Bible says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed, what other way can you say that? Shall not be condemned, okay? John 3:16, shall not perish. Yeah? So, whosoever believes on him shall not perish. Are we together? Right? Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the what? The feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of what? Good things. Let's read verse 16 together. 1, 2, 3, go. But they are not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who have believed our report. 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. So then faith cometh by hearing. And what? Hearing by the... So, can we say, therefore, faith cometh by hearing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So then, faith comes by hearing. So what kind of faith is we talking about here? Salvation, right? Is that true?
Yeah.
Right? So let me ask you a question. Is this the faith about the faith people build over time?
No.
That's different. Are we together? Yeah, you know I still want teaching on faith. Is that true?
Yeah.
I always want teaching on faith. Yeah, I want teaching on faith. So, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how is a man saved? When he hears the message of the gospel, and what happens? He believes. Say, I have believed. Say, I have believed. Say, I have believed. Are we here? Say,
I have believed
the message of the gospel, and I am saved eternally. Are we together? Yeah, so he says, if thou shalt confess, verse 9, with thy mouth, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. So a man is saved when he believes. A man is saved when he believes. Are we together? So the moment you believe, you are saved. That means, so how can we summarize it today? A man is saved when he believes. What does it mean to be saved? It means to be taken out of the ether. Is that true?
Yes.
It means to be sprinkled with what?
Clean water.
Clean water. It means to be given a new heart. It means to be given a new
spirit.
It means to be given his spirit. Are we together? Right? So a man is saved the moment he believes. And the spirit of God comes into the man. Does it also mean to have drank from the rivers of living water?
Yes.
It means you can't be thirsty. Are we together? So the moment the man is born again, he is saved, he's sanctified. Right? He is holy. Is that correct?
Yes.
What does holy mean?
Separated.
Set apart. So are you saved?
Yes.
Are you holy?
Yes.
Are we together?
So when you are asked as a believer, are you holy? You are not thinking, what did I do last night? Even though that thing you think you did last night, you should not have done it. Are we together? But you are not holy because of what you did last night, what you didn't do last night, but what God has done in the cross by the resurrection. Are we together? So you don't think on yourself, you think of Him. You think on Him. You ponder on what He has done. So because Jesus is alive, it means by default, you are alive unto God. Because what did you receive when you were saved again? John 3:16. Everlasting life. You know, everlasting life lasts forever. Some of us teach everlasting life as temporary. The moment you teach everlasting life as temporary, change the grammar. Are you here? When you teach eternal life as temporary, change the grammar. It's no longer eternal life. An eternal life that is not eternal is not eternal. Are we together? An everlasting life that is for a moment, just remove the word everlasting life. Just say life. But to teach that God gave man everlasting life means that God has put His Spirit in man forever. So it means His Spirit can never be taken from you. It means His Spirit is a deposit on your inside. It is there perpetually. Look at that Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Are we together? Why am I building a foundation on this? I want you to be rest assured that the Spirit is in you. I want you to be rest assured that His Spirit is in you. Then we'll now start talking about the gifts of that Spirit in you. Because there are gifts that come with the Spirit. There are gifts that can be demonstrated by that Spirit. But if you don't understand you have the Spirit, you manifest the gift. Are we together? So look at how Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's run through from verse 3 and run down. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed with all what? Spiritual blessings. Hold on. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings. What is the word spiritual? Of the Spirit. If someone says, why are you over? You're just spiritual. You're just spiritual. It means that there's something they are seeing that is of a spirit. Yeah? You hear of something called, have you heard of the word called spirit? Coco? Yeah? Everything. You are just, yeah. Yeah? So when he says, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is the word that was used or the words used before spiritual blessing? Is it who will bless us or who should bless us? Or who may bless us? Or who has blessed us? Who has blessed us? The little I know from English language, when you say has, it means it's past tense. Are we together? That means it is something that was done, has been done. So this conversation Paul is having, Ephesians chapter 1, is not a future tense. So God, Paul says, blessed be the Lord and God of Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings. Where are these spiritual blessings associated? Look at what it says. In where? In heaven, in Christ. So I put it to you, dear saints, the blessing that Paul is speaking about in Ephesians chapter 1 has nothing to do with your car, has nothing to do with your business or your house. Because this blessing is in heaven, in Christ. For anybody to have this blessing, you have to be where? In Christ. So if a man can get that blessing without being in Christ, the spiritual blessing is not spoken about. Hey, my house, my car is part of the spiritual blessings. Hey, can an unbeliever get that house without believing in your Christ? Yes, that means that is not a spiritual blessing. Altogether, the moment you can look at somebody who's not born again and they can have that car, that mansion, you know, we're so good at mixing scriptures together. You can just come here and say, oh, God has blessed me with all. And what you mean is your car, your house, your husband, your job, your fiance, your this. But it says in heaven, in Christ. So it means that this blessing is limited to those in Christ. You have to be in Christ to be a partaker of this blessing. That's why I've taught you scriptures. In the epistles, you don't see the word blessed used for material things. It either means fortunate or to speak well about something. Are we together? Right? So you say, I understand in our normal speaking on our word, you say, oh, God bless me with the house, God bless me with the car. But I hope you know that when you look at it in the proper context of the Bible, we are not talking about spiritual blessings. Can a Christian have a house? Yes. Can a Christian receive a house as a gift supernaturally? As a miracle? Can it happen? Can a Christian receive a house as a gift? As a miracle?
Can a non-believer receive a heart as a gift?
Yes.
As a miracle?
Yeah.
You don't want to say yes, because I think miracle is for Christians. I hope you know miracles are not only for Christians. In case you didn't know, let me say it again. Miracles are not limited to Christians. Are we together? Even the raising of dead is not limited to Christians. I hope you know. People have raised dead without the power of God. I knew of a friend of mine who used to heal himself with his mind. Jonathan said, he would lie down in school that day once he's sick and he's maybe serious sickness. So he would just say, leave me in my room. He would stay on his bed and just lie down. He would meditate himself out of the sickness. I don't know what he's doing in the room. I'm not there with him. I'm trying to say he did not call on God. I know. Altogether. So he goes, praise the Lord. I just got a car. In fact, nobody has driven the car before. I'm the first to have it. You don't look far. You know, sometimes when you are so fast to say you are the first that has something in your neighborhood, it's just that you limited your neighborhood to your compound. Altogether. You know, a proverb says when you step out, you realize your father's farm is not the biggest. You know, where your miracle stops. That's where somebody's hard work starts. Are we together? Right, so when you think of spiritual blessings, there are things limited to the believer. So it means that as long as you are not in Christ, you can't be a partaker of it. That's why Paul now further explains it to it. In verse 4, he says, according as he has chosen us. Are we together? Are we together? That we should be what? According to our scripture, you're not there. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Is that a blessing? Is it only the Christians that are in that category? Yes, no. We're blameless. We're holy. Are we together? Look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto adoption of children, according to the pleasure of the grace of grace, verse 6, wherein he has what? Made us accepted in the beloved. Is that the testimony of an unbeliever?
No.
So that's part of the spiritual blessings in Christ. You are only accepted in the beloved because you are in Christ. Look at verse 8, verse 7. In whom we have what? Redemption through his blood. Is that the testimony of everybody? No. Can everybody have a car?
Yes,
now. Do you have to be a Christian to have a job? Do you have to be a Christian to have a six-figure paying job? No, you don't have to. Right? That's why it becomes more ridiculous when you now teach that you have to sow seed or give to get something. Yeah, we're first saying to you that first, you don't have to be a Christian to get it at all. We're not even now collecting from you first. Who gets richer from seed sowing? And I've told you before, who gets richer from seed sowing? The what? Don't say pastor. The one that asked for it. I see that 10 of you here, God has asked you to drop $1,000.
$1,000.
She has multiplied it already. 10,000 times 10. And 1,000 times 10? 10,000 what? Who left here, Richard? For me, I'll just go to BMW. Next week, Sunday, I'll come again. I say, and I see, and I see, and I see. Right? I thought I said there are 10 people here. God wants you to do $1,000 or £1,000. I've not realized they don't ask for South African rand or Zimbabwean dollar. They ask for what? International currency. It has to be dollar. Bring the dollar, or else God will close the window of heaven against you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right? And what happened? When I now realized I must leave. Imagine, I can come to church today saying I must not leave this church without less than $10,000. Oh, I just do. And as I was coming, I saw 10 of you. 10. I saw the number 10. And each of you had $1,000. See, and I always tell a story of a man who wanted to do a family wanted to do a contract. I wanted to do a seed to my life. And I said, see, this seed is not any assurance. So I've told you that story before, right? What did I do? I had them to carry their seed and what? Go. Guess what? They got the contract. Imagine I collected it. Today, my ministry would have changed now. Because after using that testimony to share, a family came to me out of 1,000 beats. If you want to get contracts, there's a man. You know the word secretary or PA? Be friends with the secretary. Just send the secretary's child to primary school. Or God will sign your document. Right? So if I say 10 of you, let's say only 5 of you now come out. And I'll say, I can say 20 with 500. 500 come. If I used to collect money, I'll be good at it.
Yes.
By the time I just multiply, only 500 is 5,500 times. So you see, I see 20 of you come around the 500. When do you not reach? I see two, and I see two zeros behind 200. Come on.
Until the time I get to point, anything you have,
just come as you are. God will accept you. And what happened? I pack it. I go outside. I go and buy a new car. Next week, Sunday again, I come again. Right? But this time, I'll not start from high. I'll start from low. Who gets richer?
You.
It's me. Okay, the person that is collecting it. You know, I've heard stories of pastor fighting over seed. Yeah, imagine somebody invites somebody to come and imagine I invite a friend to come and sow seed here. I invite my friend to come and collect, come and minister the word. He already told us we will pay him this money for an honorarium. He now come here and say, I can hear in my heart. Cannot see. Okay, let people now drop. What will pay me more is if that guy carry all the money. Vital. Without me, would you have men to talk to? Who have to fight? I take this thing, you take 40. Right? But I've seen people fight on that matter. Some they will first plan it ahead. Right? The day we have a pastor who comes here and he asks for seed, and you step out, I will chase you back with cane. Because you are insulting me. That means all the shout I've been shouting, you cannot hear. You have to go back with cane. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that you don't get yourself worked up on those material things by doing. You know, there are spiritual principles that God obeys. Okay. You know, I was talking to someone last week and I said, with all the givings and all the tithing and all the seed sowing everybody is doing, none of us have become the richest in our local government. Talk more of country, talk more of continents. So it will not be unfortunate to now say the spiritual gift or spiritual blessing is money. Are we together? So the things that are limited to the believer, forgiveness of sins, redemption, we have inheritance. And I says, in whom you trusted, verse 13, I'll pick it up from here. After that you hear the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, whom after you believed, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. So what were you sealed with when you believed? The Holy Spirit of promise. So let's wrap it up. When a man believes the gospel, what does he have? When a man believes the gospel, he is saved. What has happened to him? He has been taken from the Eden. Is that correct?
Yes.
He has been sprinkled with clean water.
Yes.
He has been given a new heart, a new spirit, his spirit. What again? He has drank from the rivers of living water. He is not thirsty. He has God's spirit. Now, that spirit in you, there are manifestations. Are we together? There are what? Manifestations and demonstrations that can be seen from that spirit. So that's why we're doing this series, Spiritual Gifts. So we'll take our time and ponder on and analyze rather from scriptures. What exactly does the believer have with the spirit that he has received? Have you been blessed this morning?